Hello, everyone. It is time to get this podcast back on the menu, boys. Meat's back on the menu, boys. I had a little hiatus last couple of weeks because I became a father. I became a Vader, if you want to go with the German way. Lord Vader. Yeah, Vader. That's what I am now. I'm a Vader. Wow. I have a child.
So yes. All Germans, they say to their dads, like, dear Vader?
Vater. I don't know. I think there's a couple of words, but I know it means father.
Would you basically call the Lord Father in heaven, like Lord Vader in heaven?
I personally, yes, I would. I would, actually. And I shall. Basically, what happened was I banged my wife, right?
Whoa, and, TMI.
Sorry. I know we try not to get into the smut on this podcast, but we fucked. And then her belly got big, and then they cut her open and pulled out a baby.
Wow. And just, you're saying those two things are connected somehow.
I don't want to jump to conclusions, but I felt like one did lead to the other. So that's it. That's evolution at work. That's our biology. So I have absolutely been not sleeping, or sleeping very odd, sporadic hours, because that's what the baby does.
You've been training for not sleeping your whole life, though.
You know what? I really thought I'd be able to handle this better because of that, because I have such a long history of insomnia. But just not sleeping is not the same as having to tend to a baby all night while not sleeping. One is 10 times more exhausting. So last night I was awake from, I went to bed this morning at about 8:30. I slept till about 3:30. So that's where I'm at. That's just kind of doing, we're sleeping in shifts at this point. But can't stay mad at the little guy. He's just a little adorable version of myself, and I'm a narcissist. So it's a crazy, crazy mixture of just super exhaustion, stress, but also like a real sense of joy. And I don't know. It's pretty crazy. Hard to put into words. Can't really describe it accurately. But all the fathers, all the Vaders know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Anyways, the first 2 weeks are just like you're on survival mode, basically, just like, because the baby needs attending to 24/7. They don't really chill by the. There are periods in the day where he'll sleep for a long period, like a couple hours at a time. But when nighttime comes, it's like, nah. So my point is, you're gonna have to do some of the heavy lifting in the thinking department here, because my brain is mush right now.
Ah, well, I'm used to that, so it shouldn't be too big of a problem.
Fuck you. What else I was going to report? Yeah, I don't know how long it's been since we've done a podcast, but
We gave you like 2 weeks of paternity leave. Now that's over.
Unpaid. Unpaid paternity leave from the podcast. All the money we have locked away, I didn't get to touch a dime of it.
I spent it all already, too.
Yep. Do we have listeners?
Yeah, we do.
I've been asking this for since we started. But how many listeners do we have by your estimation?
It's the quality of the listeners, not the quantity. That's what I said. The finest listeners in the land.
Right. Yes, rare. Our listeners are rare, thus highly sought after.
Yeah. If only we could persuade Google ad services to realize the quality of our listeners.
Hello. Technical issues already. This is just on par with how we do things. Samwise, I've lost you. He
quickly attends. Yep. Oh, no. I cleared my cache and everything.
Okay. I got you back now.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be back.
What did you say? Did you reveal our numbers?
No. I was just saying, if only we could persuade Google ad services to recognize the quality of our listeners. Maybe we could make some coin. But
you know what we should do is we should make our listeners pay to listen to us. It's like an elite squad, right? And then every year we have an Eyedwise Shut party somewhere. We'll rent out an Elk's Lodge and we'll have an orgy.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
The podcast money. That's genius.
Yes, exactly. Right? We're going to get the finest condoms. Calfskin condoms for our orgies. So we don't want to discriminate against any allergies. So my life's been upside down. I've been, learning to change the diapers. I've probably changed 60 diapers by now.
Nice.
And right now I'm like, I feel like I'm getting into the groove with those. I feel like one of the pit crew on an F1 team, just like fucking, but, every diaper, every dump is a unique experience. So you never know if you're going to get a little, hey, how you doing? Or if you're going to get something where you got to shut down, you got to shut down society.
Oh, that's weird. Because doesn't he eat like the same stuff basically all the time?
Yeah, but we've found out. Okay, basically I've found out I didn't know shit about babies. I didn't know shit about baby shit, first of all. The first few dumps are just the stuff that's been percolating in them for the entire pregnancy. So it comes out literally like the consistency of black Nutella.
Wow.
It's disgusting. There's a special name for it. I forget the name. It's like micromium or something.
Micromium.
Yeah. It's got it's something that they would have to hunt down in a Marvel movie. It's basically, it legitimately is like symbiote level sticky.
It's the Venom symbiote.
The Venom symbiote comes out of them. So the first, that was like the first diaper I had to change, and it was in the hospital, and it was like so chaotic because we were with another couple and in the same room, and their baby was screaming. My wife was in extreme pain because she had just had surgery, the C-section, so she couldn't help. And I couldn't find the light switch and the baby was screaming and I'm trying to clean up this micromium symbiote shit. It was just, those first two nights in the hospital, really, I reached some new levels of like, holy, this is insane. But got much better when we got home. Still really difficult. I really thought people were being pussies.
Wow.
When they talked about how hard the first few weeks were, I'm like, yo, you guys are just pussies. I really thought that. But in fact, I am the pussy. So, if you're thinking about having kids, just know that the learning curve is very steep initially. I don't know where I was going with this. Oh yeah. The baby, diaper changing. So, our baby, he's gotta be going through like 10 diapers minimum a day. So you get pretty fast at it.
That's a lot
fast at it. Yeah. And then he'll often
numbers.
Those are Trump numbers. the biggest, the most diapers anyone's ever seen. The greatest, the greatest dumps anyone's ever taken. In the history of dumps.
He's rumored to wear diapers.
That's true. Oh, I would hate it. All of his shits are probably micromium. Fucking just
McDonald's.
Diet Coke and
straight McDonald's.
McDonald's. And Adderall.
God.
Yeah, that's got to be bad. He's losing it. He's losing his mind, that guy. What else? What else to report? Yeah, just be new dad stuff. You know, you don't know shit about babies, and then you have to learn a lot about babies real quick. I found out that they don't have control over, like, they don't know which muscles to flex to take a dump. So, like, my son will just be straining so hard. Like, he'll just be like, like trying to shit. His face goes red and he can't do it. But then when he's asleep, suddenly he'll just unleash like a 30-second long bomb.
Wow.
That like wakes up the cats. The birds fly out of the trees. It's insane.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
that's impressive.
It is impressive. It really is. Just like his father. We take the same type of dumps right now. It's almost like I only drink breast milk.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. So, it must be tough being a baby. It's like you're in a mech suit and you don't know which levers to pull to move which arms.
Oh, yeah. No control over his arms. We had to put mittens on him because he keeps on scratching his face and like grabbing his eyeballs.
Oh, no. Ooh, this feels cool. Oh, my God. I can't see.
Well, he doesn't have control, but when he, right before he cries, sometimes he grabs both sides of his face and does like the, oh, no, that famous painting.
The reflex.
It's very dramatic. Very dramatic. But yeah, love the little guy. Put cool little outfits on him. But yeah, you just see yourself in them and it's just, it's like a bizarre reflection of you as a baby. But also your partner. So it's, or my wife in this case, I can see us both equally mixed in there. It's crazy.
Yeah. So now that you are a father and you have firsthand experience with a baby, do you now think that the premise of the film Baby Geniuses is maybe a bit of a stretch?
Or do you think it's actually accurate? Yeah. Well, I don't know. How old are the babies in that movie?
They're quite young.
Because, you know, pretty much my boy is 13 days old right now, and he has yet to exhibit any genius like behavior.
No,
no,
yeah, they're still in diapers, but they can like walk around and talk. So
okay, I had a dream this morning. My son was running around already. like I woke up from a nap, and he had been sprinting around the house, and no one bothered to wake me up. But I think they wear diapers like pretty long. Like they're people, they wear diapers for like a few years, I think.
Man, what did they do before diapers were invented? Like, wow, there must have just been shit everywhere.
There was always some form of diaper. There was always some form of diaper, but the diapers that the modern diaper is insanely absorbent. So we're glad to be alive in this era.
Oh, in also, China, like, they use sandbags. Wow.
Sandbags?
That's what I googled, primitive diapers, and they use sandbags.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's not... You're better off using cat litter at that point.
Oh, here we go. The Navajo shredded the bark off of the cliff rose shrub and stuffed it between a baby's legs. Nice.
And then put a diaper on it, some sort of animal skin diaper with fucking foliage in it.
I guess. In Siberia, when the moss froze, in Siberia, they would clump a bunch of moss in there, but then apparently it could freeze to the baby. The moss would freeze to the baby. That'd be bad.
That's a cry. That's a cry worthy event. I'll tell you that right now. The crying, he has multiple levels of crying, which is what I've learned. There's like, you know, there's whimper, like kind of these grunts. He does this. If I had to imitate what my baby sounds like 90% of the time, it's just, right? That's him just being like, all right, something's got to happen here. And then he'll move it up to a little bit of like a, and that's like you gotta take action, because if you don't, then the next thing is just all out crying. And then he has another level that he can get to where it's like you would think that he's like in incredible pain, even though he's not. Sounds like a sheep bleeding, like a sheep is in the house with you. That's what it sounds like. It's loud as fuck. God.
Yeah. Wow. Well, at least you'll know. At least you know where they are. That's probably why they scream so loud, so you don't lose them.
Oh yeah, it's all. It's just like you get a time, like you get warning sounds before you get to that point. But sometimes you'll just skip the warning and just go straight to it. But I think he's below average as far as crying goes. As he doesn't go to that next level of actually crying, like tears coming out of his eyes very often. And then it's also quite usually is there's like a couple things I've found that you can get them to stop crying like immediately. One of them is just like lifting him up and down real fast, not shaking, but like a really slow motion up and down. Like he's in a jolly jumper. We'll get him to stop crying right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you stop, then the crying starts again. So you're just sitting there doing this motion. Anyways, that's where we've been. That's why we've had an hiatus. I am a new dad. I'm running on very little sleep. So I apologize to our listeners. What's been going on in the outside world, Sam? What have you been doing?
Good question. Not raising a baby, that's for sure.
No. Yeah. And I will say PSA, if you're gonna have a baby, make sure do your damnedest to have one with someone you actually want to spend a lot of time with, because it is like it is a freaking team effort to the max.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. What have I been doing? I've been listening to this song. I can't stop listening to this song. It's so cool. It's called The Big Rock Candy Mountains. Have you heard the song?
No. Who's it by?
Harry McClintock.
Is it like a really... It sounds old.
It's super old.
What's it called?
The Big Rock Candy Mountains.
The Big Rock Candy
Mountains. I'm like obsessed with this song.
I have heard this song.
Yeah, it's a classic. The song is basically about this hobo who's singing about this, how he's going to this mystical land called the Big Rock Candy Mountains.
Yeah.
And basically, it's like hobo paradise. And they like for example, one of the big selling points that he's singing about the Big Rock Candy Mountains is, it's a land that's fair and bright, where the handouts grow on bushes and you sleep out every night, where the boxcars all are empty and the sun shines every day on the birds and the bees and the cigarette trees, the lemonade springs where the bluebird sings in the Big Rock Candy Mountains.
I've definitely heard that song. I think everybody has.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I was thinking, sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So I've just been like obsessed with like, what is like, what if this was a real place, what is like the political philosophy underpinning it?
Like a utopia for homeless people.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, what do you have to do to make the Big Rock Candy Mountains real? Like, what is this society?
Well, the thing is it doesn't sound like
we can go verse by verse.
Okay. Well, the handouts, what was the handouts line again?
Okay. The handouts.
Oh, it's on the Yo Brother We're Out There soundtrack.
Yeah. And yeah, the film Never Let Go as well. The horror film Never Let Go.
Never Back Down?
Never Let Go.
Never okay. Let
Go. Yeah. By Tom Pitt. No.
All right, I have the lyrics up right in front of me.
Oh, yeah. So okay,
one evening, as the sun went down and the jungle fire was burning, down the track came a hobo hiking. He said, "Boys, I'm not turning. I'm headed for a land that's far away beside the crystal fountains. So come with me. We'll go and see the Big Rock Candy Mountains."
Yeah. Okay. So first thing that strikes you that maybe the Big Rock Candy Mountains is a very remarkable and strange place is that the handouts grow on bushes.
Yeah. That, is he talking about like weed plants?
I think he's talking about money.
Well, but why it grows on bushes? Is he just saying that's how plentiful they are?
I think what he's saying is you don't have to panhandle. You don't have to ask anybody for a handout. There's a handout bush that has like a $20 bill on it. You just grab that.
Do you think this is metaphor or he's talking about an actual fantasy land?
Well, here I'm taking it. I want to say this is not metaphor. This is a real place.
This is literal. This is a real. Okay, so are we talking these mountains made of literal candy?
That's never addressed in the song, actually. But there are things. Well, for example, like he says, like there's cigarette trees and lemonade springs. Okay, so we've noticed.
You know what this is like? This is like Charlie and the Chocolate Family Factory for adults.
Charlie and the Chocolate what, Jordan? Excuse me?
What did I say?
Racist. Charlie and the...
Telling you, my brain's not operating, but you know what I mean? This is like the same. It's like the Chocolate Factory, but for adults. Like there's cigarettes growing on trees. There's fountains with lemonade. I mean, that's probably in the, that's probably something you would actually find in the chocolate factory. All the cops have wooden legs.
Okay, you're going too far ahead. Okay,
we gotta turn this into a video game.
okay so we've got cigarette trees and money growing on trees and lemonade springs. So this, okay, so first of all, it could be that they have done some crazy genetic engineering where they have actually genetically engineered trees to grow dollar bills and stuff, which is pretty technologically advanced.
Now, when we say cigarette tree, are we thinking these are full like export A's or with filter and everything? Or are we talking like this is just tobacco?
Well, they're hobos. It's more about that there are free cigarettes that you can pull off a tree.
They don't have to be premium brand.
They don't have to be DeLaurier or whatever.
Well, they're gonna probably. Well, can someone roll them for me at least?
Yeah. So that is
take a mile.
So like that's amazing. Like they, to make this place work, you got to have a tree that can grow a rolled cigarette.
Which, yes.
Again, speaks to a really, really sophisticated genetic engineering technology, which we don't possess.
Or we're talking magic. Right?
Or magic. Yeah.
This is like Alice in Wonderland type stuff, right? There's a freaking cat smoking a hookah. There's dancing, playing cards. Like, this, anything can happen, but it's all catered towards what a hobo would like, which is cigarettes. All the boxcars are empty, right? There's enough. No one ever has to miss a ride because of a boxcar being full.
Exactly. Now, there's one thing that's interesting is it seems like everything is free. So I don't know why you would need money to grow on a tree when there's a cigarette tree as well.
I don't think the handouts are specifically going to have to be cash. All right. Oh, this definitely sounds like a place where everything is free. So I think the handouts are more like whatever you need, I got it for you. You
know,
what would you buy if you had money that's available to you.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, that's cool. And I guess, I don't know. I would be concerned that, if money was growing on trees, they'd have an inflation problem as well. So that's probably not the way to read it.
Why don't you go out to the homeless in our city and ask them how they feel about inflation? And I think you'll be surprised that they don't have a strong opinion about it at all because they just steal stuff.
all right.
So moving on.
Okay.
Lemonade Springs where the bluebird sings. Okay. So there are, you know, classic animal here. What's it called? What's the, when you're talking about animals and plants, there's like a fauna,
flora
and fauna.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Holy shit. I'm scraping the bottom of my brain right now.
Yeah. Well, they've got lemonade springs, which implies there's like a lemonade aquifer under the Big Rock Candy Mountains. Again, remarkable. If that's real.
Remarkable. Yes.
Geoengineering right there. This is like clearly, like, if this is a real place, the level of control over the environment and genetics is absolutely outstanding.
Now, when the lemonade springs, there's an inherent problem with stickiness there. If that thing overflows, that's going to be bad, all right? Or are we talking like little fountains where you can go and drink? Like, remember in Mr. Deeds when he gets to his in his mansion and there's a water fountain that produces a Hawaiian punch? Is it kind of like that, but with lemonades? Or are we talking a natural spring in the woods somewhere?
I'm thinking a natural spring, like there's an underground river that gets to the surface and then exits again.
And okay, like so if we're going with this is a actual place that engineers and some sort of society made it, it's not magic. Where are we getting this level of lemons? Is this artificial flavoring? Is this real lemon?
Yeah, like that's a good question.
Shit ton of lemons to make that volume of lemonade.
Yeah, with any spring, I don't know exactly how that a lemonade aquifer would work maybe there's lemonade rain as well.
Yeah,
that replenishes.
Well, then we're no, because if there's lemonade rain, we're gonna have an unreal ant problem, right? We're gonna have it won't be cool. It won't be fun. No one's gonna be stoked about how sticky everything and how there's ants
hobos aren't
everywhere.
Yeah, the hobos don't want that. They don't want that.
No.
Okay. All right. So the lemonade springs, we're still not sure how they did it, but apparently it's there.
I'm thinking this is a magic world, not we don't have to come up with practical answers to all this.
Okay, so the next one, here's where maybe ethically the Big Rock Candy Mountains gets a little questionable. So all the cops have wooden legs. So how did that happen? Were they born without legs?
How the hell did that happen?
Okay, well, either born... yeah. So
these are two... Okay, when I first read that line, there's two things that I could imagine this being, all right? This is not explaining how they got them. I'm talking... Are we... Like, if we're talking, like, peg legs... That's they're saying they have wooden legs. They're like peg legs. They're slow as shit. You can get away from them easily. That's what I think they're trying to imply. Or does there a hinge? Is it like a Pinocchio level craftsmanship? Like, are these, yeah, they're wooden, but they can still run like a motherfucker. Like, I'm assuming he's trying to say that they have peg legs, in which case the mandatory amputees.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, I think I agree. I think it's a peg leg thing. And then the question is, again, are these genetically engineered cops who are born without legs to be cops with wooden legs? Or or is this, yeah, like at a certain point, you get your legs cut off and you become a cop?
That is a dark, dark reality.
Yeah.
If true. If you want to be, now that tells me you either really, really have a passion for justice and keeping the law that you're ready to sacrifice your legs, or this is some sort of involuntary conscription. I don't know why I said that like that, where they're taking maybe orphans, maybe unwanted hobo babies.
Oh, hobos aren't good parents. Yeah, that's true.
No, historically terrible parents. Although having a baby has made me fantasize about the freedom of a hobo.
Becoming a hobo. Yeah. The next one is just as alarming. All the bulldogs have rubber teeth.
Yes. So if we're going to go with the cops are getting their legs amputated, we have to assume the bulldogs are getting their teeth pulled and replaced with rubber.
Oh, my God. It's horrific.
Which begs the question is, why not just leave the teeth out? And why even bother with the rubber teeth?
Putting it back in. It's a mockery. Yeah. It's a mockery of the bulldog.
It's like, what's gum? Just getting a gummy bulldog is going to be less painful even than rubber teeth, I would imagine.
Yeah, rubber teeth. Yeah, could be nasty depending on how hard the rubber is.
Yes, that's true. But it's no matter how hard the rubber is, these boys ain't eating dry food anymore. They're on a soft food diet.
Yeah, that's true. They're gonna these poor dogs. You wonder how
poor dogs. They're definitely. If we're going with the Big Rock Candy Mountains, is a real place where some amazing engineering and science has happened to make this possible, but also just ignoring ethics completely. We're having cops getting their legs cut off and bulldogs getting their teeth pulled out. That's just what's happening. So, yeah.
So just it raises the question, like, do the hobos do they not need any law enforcement, like effective law enforcement at all? Is it just there for them to make fun of?
I think so. I think, yeah, these guys they're not upholding the law anyways, right? They're there for maybe it's a federal loophole. You have to have a police force. So they just basically make the police, they are there. They just are incredibly ineffective.
That's interesting. Yeah. You have cops, but they're just there for you to make fun of.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
And then they send their bulldogs after you. And it didn't make any mention of their claws. They could still cause some damage.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, yeah, so there's some other stuff here. The hens lay soft boiled eggs.
Now, this is something I would love to have.
Sounds very convenient.
Do you ever put like a 7-minute egg into a ramen bowl or something? It's just, it's delightful.
Yeah. It's so hard to soft boil it and have it be correct.
To get it right. Yeah.
It's tough.
And if you take the time to marinate them in like a soy glaze, oh.
I'm assuming we're not going to have soy glaze with these, but if it's already soft-boiled egg, like, it literally, if you don't even have to fucking peel it, now we're talking like you just rinse off the hen goop.
Goop.
And you got a soft-boiled egg and pop in your mouth. That would be, oh, that would be so dope.
Yeah. I mean, okay, there have to have some hens that lay normal eggs, or else presumably no more hens, right?
That's true. Unless these could be all be bought. They could have been grown in a lab. These are lab grown hens that lay soft boiled eggs. You'd wonder what happens when someone would just like want like a sunny side up or a scramble, but
yeah. Like what if the hobos want to do a skillet?
That's
going to be an issue. Yeah.
The hobos seem to be running the show here as far as what they prefer and what they want. The mayor of this city must be homeless.
Man, the mayor don't know what's going on in this town.
The mayor is the most homeless.
Yeah, yeah, it's really strange. So this is interesting because hobos, they're outside all the time.
Yeah.
They don't like snow and rain and wind. And so in the Big Rock Candy Mountains, we see here, it says, "Oh, I'm bound to go where there ain't no snow, where the rain don't fall, the wind don't blow, in the Big Rock Candy Mountains."
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I think we've skipped something interesting before this, where we go from wooden leg cops, rubber teeth bulldogs, soft boiled eggs laid by hands, and then farmer trees full of fruit, very normal.
Yeah.
And barns are full of hay, yeah, also very normal. So I just find it interesting that he went he got three lines of just completely fantastical things, and then two random lines of completely normal stuff, and then goes back to there's no weather.
Well, he's just trying to drive home the point that however this place works, the technology is beyond our understanding, because he's saying like, look, we've got normal trees with fruit. We've got normal trees. We've got hay, right? Normal hay, but
yeah, it's funny that they're like
rain without any rain. How do we do it?
That's
true. Hobos.
How do they grow the trees? How do they grow the hay? There's no rain.
There's no rain.
That is interesting.
Or is he trying to like subtly say, like, this place can't be real because you can't have a tree with fruit unless you have some rain? Is that the point?
I also find it kind of funny where he's like, instead of being like, hey, there's beds everywhere, it's like, hey, the barns all have hay in them, so that's good for sleeping.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's so keyed into like the hobo lifestyle of just total freedom on the road. Don't own anything except your stick and your bag.
Yeah.
Remarkable.
You don't see people with a handkerchief stick bag thing going around.
Actually, you know what? Today I did at the bus stop, except it was a dollar store bag on like a stick pole, which is not cool.
That is not as romanticized as what we're talking about. The Big Rock Candy Mountain. Now, we haven't touched on drugs yet here.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. I think that there's different types of homeless people, right? There's the drug addicted psychos, you know, taking a dump in the middle of the city, full view of everyone, broad daylight. That guy.
Love that.
That gets mad at you for looking. completely nodding off, addicted to heroin. You know, we're talking like East Hastings level. Then we have travelers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Homeless by choice, just blown in with the wind type people.
That takes some skill. That takes some skill.
I'm sure that it takes a little getting used to, for sure. These are the ones where it's like they have a dog and there's food in the bowl next to them. And they're outside of like, and they're the ones that are cool with you just giving them a sandwich and don't get mad at you with that. It's not cash because they can't buy drugs with a sandwich.
Yeah.
I think we're kind of dealing with maybe that breed of homeless when we're talking about the Big Rock Candy Mountains.
Yeah, I get the sense.
Or not. That, wait, no. I'm just reading the next line.
Well, okay. Yeah, let's move on. So the next line here is, in the Big Rock Candy Mountains, you never change your socks, and the little streams of alcohol come a trickling down the rocks. Yeah. Okay. Let's pause there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there we could have a real issue with alcoholism there. Free booze, free booze.
Yeah. And it's filtered over rocks. That sounds nice. On the rocks.
It does sound nice. How little are these streams? Are we able to get, like, are we getting drunk? Or are we, like, sitting there just with, like, thimblefuls of alcohol?
Oh, well, listen to this next line. There's a lake of stew and of whiskey, too. You can paddle all around them in a big canoe.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You could paddle, you paddle through the stew lake, then you do a quick portage into the whiskey lake.
Oh my God. What kind of stew do you think?
Irish beef, carrots, potatoes.
Big potato. Yeah, potatoes in there. Oh, that goes good with whiskey. It's hearty. Yeah. But we skipped some things. Okay. Let's go back to this. Never change your socks. Is that because no one cares your feet stink, or your socks, just once you're in Big Rock Candy Mountain, they hand you a pair of never, never stinky socks that you never have to change because they're always going to be fresh. Yeah. Like the never ending gobstopper from
Wonka.
Wonka, yeah. Same concept, right? Your socks never get worn out and they never stink. That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm imagining.
Yeah, I'm thinking some sort of antimicrobial, antifungal.
Yeah, that keeps your feet clean, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, which the brakemen have to tip their hats, and the railroad bulls are blind. So are railroad bulls like security?
Yeah,
on the rails,
security guards. Yeah,
I find it funny that he's still like really fantasizing about how like there's empty carts and railroad bulls are blind, and the brakemen have to tip their hats. It's like you're there. Where are you going? You don't have to think about trains anymore. Why even put that in the song? You're at the place. You're at the Big Rock Candy Mountains. There's no reason to go anywhere else. You got a lake of stew and whiskey, goddammit.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay. It's possible. He never says how big the Big Rock Candy Mountains are.
They're taking trains from one end of town to the other?
Well, I mean, if this is a utopian society for hobos, part of the hobo life is sometimes you just want to get on that train and ride those rails as far as they'll take you. And so maybe the Big Rock Candy Mountains isn't defined by fixed borders. Maybe you could ride that train as long as you want.
Maybe it's just a circular track, you know? The rails the rails call to the hobos. They have to get on there. But you can end up right back where you were in no time if you just stay on there.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, yeah. Either way, you're riding for free and the security guards are there. They have security guards, but they are blind.
Why do they have to keep including law enforcement, but they're horrifically deformed or disabled?
Justice so far is blind and lame.
Eliminate them from the equation altogether. Why are we doing this to them?
Yeah, it's really like he's really driving this point home that like we still have law enforcement, but it's like a joke. It's a literal joke that we laugh at and mock.
Yeah,
maybe the hobos are such good people that they really just don't need law enforcement. Maybe they're anarchists. They can follow the rules without leaders.
Well, I feel like a lot of the crime committed by the hobos, the homeless, is theft because they don't have what they want. But it seems to me that the handouts grow on bushes here, and there's plenty of whiskey, plenty of stew. What crime needs to be committed?
Yeah, I mean, you know what I've heard people say that there is, maybe you said this, I can't remember, but there's if you can't enforce a law, then it's not really a law. And so if the cops are all lame and the security guards are blind, no one can really enforce the law. So there's no laws, but they're trying to enforce it, but they can't because they're lame.
Well, my point is what laws need to be broken here? There's no need to break a law when everything's free. Violence would be the only thing I can think of.
Yeah.
But what's going to instigate the violence? Just personality clashes?
Okay, well, it seems like, I feel like the hobos, they need, part of their life is that they have to feel like they are living on the fringe of society. Like they are somehow going against the grain. They're going against the mainstream.
Right. And they're becoming mainstream if they move here and there's only other hobos. So that's why they need the ops. They need the opposition in the form of fucking legless cops and blind security and bulldogs with rubber teeth. Maybe that's why they go through the effort of giving the dogs rubber teeth so that they can still growl and bare their teeth. So there is still that thrill of like, yeah, we're it's us against them.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. I think that's it. They want to, they need it to feel real still. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this like, it is very, it's in a very gray area. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess a lot of the laws that hobos break would be what we might call victimless crimes. Like, okay, you ride in an empty boxcar for free. That sucks to be you. Like that sucks. And it's technically illegal, but does anyone really suffer from that? Really? Not really.
No, not really. But everything's free. Everything's free if they brought Candy Mountains. That's what I'm getting. You don't care. Okay. What do you need? The handouts grow on bushes. So yeah. I'm assuming that's clothing, maybe camping equipment, tenting stuff.
Matches.
If you really need food, there's a whole goddamn lake of stew. Okay.
Yep.
Again, this is totally bypassing the actual how that would be unbelievably disgusting in real life. Okay. Just like the lemonade springs, can you imagine the amount of animal waste that would end up in that stew?
Well, yeah, there wouldn't be any fish in there.
No, unless it's a fish stew.
That's a fish stew, yeah. I mean, yeah.
How are they keeping this stew? Is the stew cold? Is it warm? Is it hot stew? Do you have to heat it up yourself?
I'm thinking it's a hot spring. I'm thinking it's at a constant simmer.
Oh.
Yeah.
You better not fall out of that fucking canoe.
Yeah. God damn. Be careful. Beef ahead. Swerve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, if you fall into the whiskey lake, you're in real danger of ingesting enough whiskey to just completely be drowned immediately. Like, have you ever taken a shot of whiskey and like gagged a little bit? Imagine that going in your eyes and nose and stuff. Like, this is dangerous. This place is dangerous.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything about medical treatment at all.
That's the one catch. There's no healthcare whatsoever.
Ah, that'd be tricky.
All the doctors are busy amputating cop legs.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Yeah. Hobos are like notoriously tough and resilient. So maybe in the Big Rock Candy Mountains, they're just on another level. They really just don't need a doctor. That could be with the amount of genetic engineering that appears to be going on in this place. I would not be surprised if the hobos are basically like indestructible.
I think you bring up, now that you mention it, this, what we're talking about here is heaven. They're already dead.
Oh, they're already dead. Amazing.
So this is all, this is what heaven is for a hobo.
This is where you go. This is Hobo Valhalla. This is where you go.
Yes, this is Valhalla for the hobos, which explains why they're always in a position of power over who would be in power over them in their actual lives.
Wow.
The police and security.
Yeah.
Now they have power over them.
They have all the power.
Yes.
That's incredible. Okay, well, here's the final verse. The final verse of this song. In the Big Rock Candy Mountains, the jails are made of tin. And you
why? Can... Why even bother with the fucking jails?
And you can walk right out again as soon as you are in. There ain't no short handle shovels, no axes, saws, or picks. I'm a-going to stay where you sleep all day, where they hung the jerk that invented work in the Big Rock Candy Mountains.
Wow. So really against labor here. Really against, well, let's talk about the jails made of tin. Like if you got aluminum foil walls, like what, why are we wasting money? Why are we wasting time on this? On this farce of the justice system here is absolutely, it's completely unnecessary.
Yeah, it's farcical. Yeah. I mean, it sounds kind of like our justice system where you just walk right out again as soon as you are in.
Yeah, catch and release. I mean, if you're getting fucking arrested and thrown in jail by wooden-legged cops, what? Like, what?
How are you even letting that happen to you?
Too drunk from the whiskey streams.
Yeah, maybe they find you when you're passed out and you wake up in a tin jail and then you just walk out the wall because you're like the fucking the Kool-Aid man there, just popping out of an aluminum wall. And I like how he's like, there's no shovels, axes, saws, or picks. You're not going to be working. In fact, that's kind of a dark twist.
This is very dark.
Hang a man.
They say they killed somebody. Okay, so this gets dark. It gets a little dark here.
Yeah.
This is like revolutionary. This is revolutionary language, right?
Yes.
We hung the jerk that invented work. That sounds like the communist revolution.
Yeah.
But a little bit. They weren't against work. They were against capitalism. These guys seemed like they're straight up against working.
Yes. Well, that's surprising to no one. Yeah. But
that's a metaphor because there's no one person who invented work, right? Or maybe there is.
No. Well, if there is, he's long dead now. How
do
they find him?
If there was someone that invented work, I would be on the hobo side that we should hang them.
Yeah.
Why did you invent this? This has done nothing but trouble.
Well, I don't know. Did they find him? What was he doing in the Big Rock Candy Mountain anyways, the guy who invented work?
Maybe when they finally killed the guy that invented work, the curse was lifted and the Rock Candy Mountains came awake.
I still think that the mountain is actually made of rock candy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
crystals.
Next thing we should do here is we're going to look into the guy who wrote this. Born October 8th, 1884 in Yerkesville, Ohio.
Golden age of hobos.
Let's go with the Wikipedia here. Railroad man, radio personality, actor, singer, songwriter. That's his best known song. He lived to the ripe age of 72. I feel like that's pretty good for 1957.
Yeah.
Okay. He had other names. Strawlegs Martin. Haywire Mac and Radio Mac. This guy rode the
Radio
rails.
Radio Mac. That sounds ahead of his time. I could see someone today.
He was a radio personality.
Oh. Okay.
Ooh. Was active in the industrial workers of the world.
All right. He was kind of pro labor movement.
Yeah. Interesting. Unionism and industrial unionism. Interesting. He wrote the marching song of the industrial workers of the world called Hallelujah, I'm a Bum.
Love it. I love that.
Cool. Well, there you go. Now that we know what we're talking about, would you yourself move to the Big Rock Candy Mountains?
I've been thinking about that. Man, it sounds wonderful, but it also sounds too good to be true.
It sounds like it would become sort of a Sodom and Gomorrah situation pretty quickly.
Oh, like the hobos would start fucking animals and stuff, or like what?
I wouldn't be surprised.
There's no God, so Sodom and Gomorrah is not a problem.
Just because there's no God doesn't mean wanton, what's the word for? Oh, my brain, where you can just do whatever you want. Not sadist, not that's the wrong word. It's there's another word where it's just whatever physical pleasures you can find is good to go.
Oh, hedonism?
It sounds like the beginnings of a hedonistic society.
It sounds like it is totally hedonistic. Yeah. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. You just got to,
yeah.
Take it.
Something tells me it's going to be a very male heavy population as well. So that's where the Sodom part's going to come in.
Oh, right? Okay. So they're gay as well.
Well, I just can't imagine a lot of women wanting to live there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bunch of drunk people, drunk on whiskey.
They're having sticky. A good time, though. They're having a good time.
All sticky.
Not necessarily.
Yes, necessarily. If it's raining lemonade.
No. We clear that up. There's no rain. It doesn't rain.
All right. Well, I can only imagine that there's sticky. It's going to be a very sticky town. There's a giant mountain made of rock candy. That can't be like. My biggest concern with this place is the ant problem.
Okay. Yeah, because of the lemonade spring.
Not just that, the Stew Lake.
The ants can't go near the Stew Lake. It's at a constant simmer.
Okay. All right. Okay. That fair enough. But you know that
you might get hornets and stuff.
There's birds dying and flying in there. This shit's getting in there, right?
I think we can assume that they've
at least the birds are going to get cooked all the way. Yeah, you know, true. If it's at a constant simmer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's a question. Suppose we had the level of technology that you would need to make something like this real, where you could totally control the environment and genetically engineer people to have certain jobs.
Yeah. Dude, I guarantee you
to do that. Or do you think that's
Disney's going to make a movie about this place in like 10 years. I guarantee it.
There's booze in it.
So what? There's booze in other Disney movies.
I don't think you can't Disneyfy this.
Yes, you can Disneyfy everything, Sam. That's the problem. I don't think
kids will not understand what this is about.
They will.
This is about being a man with no prospects and you just want to jump on a railway and forget life. Kids can't relate to that.
It sounds like a really kind of communist sort of utopia, idealistic place, right? Where everybody lives outside. I don't know what kind of buildings we're going to have there. Is there any buildings besides these tin jails?
There's barns. The farmer's barn
is full of hay. But they sleep under the stars. And they once you start living indoors, you're no longer a hobo. So it's probably extremely frowned upon to even go inside.
Yeah.
Which kind
Unless
of, you
it's
know,
a box
honestly,
car. You can sleep in a boxcar.
Yeah, but it's in motion, right? If you're setting up camp in a boxcar and you're living in there, you're raising a family in there, you're no longer homeless. You just live in a boxcar.
It's a way of life. It's a way of life.
To me, it seems like this is too good to be true. There's a catch. There's got to be a catch.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't. So look, let's think about what you can actually eat here. You get the stew, you get the fruit from the trees, you get the lemonade,
soft boiled eggs. Farmers' trees are full of fruit.
It's actually not bad. It's not that bad.
You got alcohol,
as many cigarettes as you can smoke, as many booze as you can drink.
You don't have to change your socks. The hand does grow on trees.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about survival at all. You just wake up and go and you're going to be fine.
Except for you still kind of have to be at least cognizant of law enforcement.
Yeah, you have to be slightly aware. But if you do get caught, don't worry about it. The jail is made it to.
It's at most a minor inconvenience to your day if you do get caught. I mean, it would still be uncomfortable for it to be bit by a bulldog with rubber teeth.
That would be annoying because they don't let go. So
no, they could probably break your hand if even with just from pure bite strength.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're definitely going to have bruises from those rubber teeth. Yeah. So you still can show off to the other hobos at the campfire about the dog that bit you and everything.
You do have to keep your wits about you still, which actually is a good touch. Because you don't want life to be too secure. You don't want it to get boring. You need to have a little bit of adrenaline rush from time to time. Oh. Rubber tooth bulldog running at you.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the point, right? Because hobos aren't known for agility and speed and physical fitness. So maybe this is more just like leveling the playing field a bit. Like, because they're probably drunk and like stumbling around half the time. So like a chase between a wooded-legged cop and a drunk hobo is probably fairly equal.
It's probably pretty funny to watch. It is true. They are not known for their agility.
We never thought of that before, but yeah, the hobo food population, not known for their agility. Unless you're talking like a young group of parkour homeless people.
Yeah, some French homeless guys.
Yeah, I feel like half the population of France are homeless in some sense.
They definitely are quite snobby.
I feel like there's like some cultures in France, you just kind of walk into any house at night to sleep. No one's allowed to complain.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, man, so this place, very interesting. I'm thinking about it a lot. Thinking is it?
I guarantee you, man, this would be a perfect ride for Disney. You get on the rail cart, it's empty.
Yeah.
There's no security. There's no one even managing this ride. No one's managing the ride. It just goes in a circle around the mountain. You can hop on and off wherever you want.
Nice. I like that. I like that. Yeah, but first you're just checking if you're tall enough to go in is blind.
Yeah. And then you could just intentionally break the law just to run away from these cops.
Yeah, it's hilarious. And they're chasing you like, hey, get back here. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, there you go. There you have it.
There you go.
The philosophy.
I think that's going to be our episode. And first time we've ever broken down a song, I feel like.
Yeah. We did. We did pretty well verse by verse, even a little biographical action at the end.
Yeah.
Not bad.
That's our episode. Hopefully I can keep doing this weekly. I'm really hoping that this baby's starting to sleep longer stretches at night. He's tricked us a couple nights. He's been giving us a few 3 hour stretches. We're like, okay, this is going to be how it's going to be. We have one of the easiest babies ever. And then the next three nights he's up all night. So
oh, man.
It's really, it's tiring. I can't believe in some places they only give you like a couple weeks of maternity leave. I couldn't imagine if my wife had to go back to work next week. Like, that's just insane.
It's insane.
Luckily, we live in a socialist nation of Canada. All right. Well, dude. I better go. I can hear the boy causing havoc out there.
The boy.
Maybe he'll grow up one day to be one of the best hobos out there. Legendary.
Sully the, I don't know what they call each themselves, their titles. What was Harry McClintock's nicknames? Harry the Mac or something?
Something straw legs.
Sully straw legs.
Well, no, you get your name from something, some sort of feat you've done, right? You don't just get given a name right off the bat. It's bestowed upon you after you've done something, right?
Yeah, that's true. Eh?
Either that or some sort of deformation you have on your body. They usually just go with that.
Yeah, it's like Top Gun. Like he becomes Maverick because he's such a wild card. Yeah,
right. Or you got old Willy One Eye.
Willy One Eye.
All right, that's our podcast. We'll maybe talk to you guys later. Bye.
See you in the Big Rock Candy Mountains.
Go listen to that song with fresh ears and eyes now. Bye. The Philosopher's Stone.